This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Message today, we will take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 17. Romans 10, verses 8 through 17. But what says it? The word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is God's word.
How many of you would say this morning that you have beautiful feet? Some of you ladies may pay a pretty penny to ensure that you have beautiful feet. And the reason why you're willing to spend that money to get that pedicure is because if left to itself, your feet would probably not look so pretty. There's a reason why the foot is the farthest appendage from your nose and your eyes. The foot has about 250,000 sweat glands, which can pump out about a half a pint of perspiration every day. They get calluses and ingrown and even sometimes fungal infections. They're not fun. But did you know that the New Testament only has this appendage as something being described as beautiful? Is it because how it can look, how you can dress it up and then it can be beautiful? No, it's because of what it can do. God created your feet to do something. Together, your feet have 52 bones, which is about 25% of the total bones in your body. 66 joints, 38 muscles, 20 tendons, and 214 ligaments. Your feet contain approximately 8,000 nerve endings, more per square centimeter than any other part of your body. It's no wonder you're ticklish down there. With every step you walk, each of your feet absorbs 1.5 times your body weight. When you run, your body is hit with the force of up to 5 times your body weight. Over one day, feet are hit with a couple tons of pressure. And on average, a person logs 115,000 miles in a lifetime of walking. That's about the distance around the earth 5 times. God created your feet so that you can move. And if you move with the purpose God has in mind, God will call your feet beautiful. In the book of Romans, Paul has been taking great lengths to teach us that we are saved from the judgment of God, not by doing good works of any sort of religious law, but by putting our faith and trust completely and wholeheartedly in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. In chapter 9, he starts talking about how he wants his fellow Jewish brethren to be saved. But he's telling us that it's not going to be through any sort of national identity or ethnicity. It is going to be through belief in Christ. He summarizes this in verse 13 of chapter 10. Whoever, or let's go to verse 12. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then Paul starts to ask these rhetorical questions. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Paul quotes from Isaiah, who wrote that somebody who comes with good news, their feet are beautiful. You see, in the ancient world, we didn't have social media. We didn't have text messaging. We didn't have news broadcasting. When a king went out to battle, if he won the battle, they sent a messenger back to the city to tell the good news that the king won. And so then the city could prepare to welcome the king back from the battlefield in great celebration. And what the Bible is saying is that that messenger who returns with the good news has beautiful feet. See? It's what the feet are doing. It's the message that the person is bringing. But here's the thing. People can't believe in Jesus and be saved unless somebody brings them the good news. So that's where these rhetorical questions come from. And at first glance, you might think, oh, it says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, technically, the word is a verb. And it's the same word in verse 15, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? What it means literally is, how shall they hear without preaching? So, yes, I'm supposed to stand here and preach the gospel, and yes, we want to invite people to this church to hear the gospel and be saved. But it is a task of every believer of Jesus Christ to take the message of the gospel and give it themselves to someone else. And then, as God works and saves people, we come together here to grow in our faith through the preaching of the Word of God. So this is for everyone. So how can we have beautiful feet? The short answer is this: go and deliver the message of the gospel to the lost. However, we'd like to expand on this morning. First, in order to have beautiful feet, we need to know our message. We need to know our message. If we don't know the message ourselves, we will be delivering wrong information to another person. If you go into any larger church and ask every single person in that church, what's the gospel? I bet you'd be surprised at the variety of answers you may hear. Sometimes somebody heard the wrong gospel. Sometimes somebody heard or read the wrong gospel. Sometimes people make up a new gospel altogether. And that's why Paul is very serious when he says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, but if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than what we have preached to you, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. So if we're going to share the gospel to others, we need to make sure we have the right message. Otherwise, we'll be delivering wrong information. I remember, I think it was in 2011, when my parents said to me that I was still living at home, we just heard the news that Osama bin Laden has been killed. And when I heard that, I don't know why, but for whatever reason, my mind thought Obama. And so when my parents told me Osama was killed, I thought Obama was killed. And I was stunned. I didn't quite know how to make of it. At the time, I wasn't actually really into politics. I just knew he was the president, and I didn't quite know what to think. And if I went around telling everybody around me, hey, did you hear Obama died? He was killed. I'd be spreading wrong information, right? The same with us with sharing our message. We need to ensure that we have the true gospel of Jesus Christ being heralded, because there are a lot of false gospels being heralded today. Erwin Lutzer, in an article, wrote that today we have five false gospels being preached in the world around us. First, he brings up the false gospel of permissive grace, which says that God loves you, He died for your sins, therefore you can do whatever you want, it doesn't matter. False. The false gospel of social justice, which says that we're not really saved from personal sin and called by God to do good works. Salvation is going to people who are oppressed by government, particularly those with white supremacy involved, and help those who are struggling with making ends meet. Of course, we're supposed to reach out to those who are hurting and struggling, but that's not the good news. The good news is we need salvation from sin. Thirdly, he brings up the false gospel of New Age spirituality, how experience with the supernatural is a substitute for the need for personal conversion and repentance and faith and the teaching of the gospel through the Bible and obedience to Christ. He brings up the false gospel of sexual preference. There are churches in this city whose whole purpose of existing is to welcome those that feel bad because other churches say that they can't sleep with the person they want to sleep with. That's their good news. That's not the true gospel. And finally, he brings up the false gospel of interfaith dialogue. I don't like the terminology because it's a very broad term, but he's bringing up the idea that there are churches that are giving the idea that it really doesn't matter what you believe, as long as we can just open our arms wide enough, people will eventually come to hear the truth. And you have Southern Baptist Convention candidates who are saying that the God of Allah and the God of the Bible are the same. You have popular TV show of Bible Times character directors who are saying that Mormons and Christians love the same Jesus. We need to know the true gospel so that we can relate the true message, so that we can bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The gospel of how God created us to have a relationship with Him, how we sinned against God and we rebelled against God, how God sent His Son Jesus into this world to die on the cross for our sins, to take care of that rebellion and rise from the grave to ensure that we will have eternal life after we die, and that through repentance of our sin and faith alone in Jesus Christ, not of works, we can be saved and be restored in our relationship with God today and be ensured of a future existence with God in a new heavens and a new earth. That is the true gospel that we must bring. Amen? We must know our message. Secondly, we must be convinced of our message. You see, it's one thing to know the message. It's another thing to be convinced of it. So you may have the right information, but what if you don't really know for sure that it is the true message? What if the idea of Jesus Christ being the only way for people to come to know God and have eternal life is offensive? And so you wonder, you know, I know it's what the Bible teaches, but I'm not sure. In order to have beautiful feet, you need to come to grips. You need to settle it with God. Either this is the truth or it's not, and you're going to walk away. We must be utterly and totally convinced. You know, there are a lot of things being talked about in today's day and age. Some of them sound pretty convincing. Some of them I'm not sure. Some of them I really doubt. If you were to come to me and ask me, Pastor, do you think that there are things in the COVID shots that are really harmful and people put them in for wrong reasons? I'm pretty convinced. I've read about it. I've listened. I'm pretty convinced. If you were to ask me, Pastor, would you say that the child sex trafficking industry is real and that there are multimillionaires who are using children in ungodly, terrible, awful ways, and that this is a big industry? Well, I didn't see the Sound of Freedom documentary. I haven't done the research, but I've heard enough. I mean, it's plausible. It's really plausible there. It wouldn't take long to settle it with me. If you were to ask me, Pastor, do you believe that NASA has tricked us, that the earth is really flat? I'd probably say, not buying it. But if I'm going to come up here week after week and preach that Jesus Christ is the only way for salvation and go out there and attempt to share that with others, I better darn be sure that that is what I believe to be true. And it should be for you, because if you don't believe it, you're not going to want to share it. Amen? We have to be convinced. It's like you're driving down the road and there are all these, you know, nowadays, we were talking about this the other day, we're going down the road, we have our GPSs to tell us when we turn, we just mindlessly go down the road and the voice comes out and says, turn left. And so we turn left and we don't know where we are, we don't know where we're going. This is the sad thing about our generation. But have you ever, like, had your GPS trick you? You're going down the road, you take an exit, it says, take the next exit. So you take the next exit, and you suddenly look, and the exit splits, and there's like A, B, C, D, E options for you. And you're going down the road, and you're waiting, and there's no voice. And you have no idea where you are, you don't know the sound, you read the signs, and it's gibberish, and so you're like, well, here we go, and you just choose one. And you hope that it's the right one. And some of us, there are Christians who they go to church and it's, you know, it seems to make sense. It seems to fit, you know, certain things. But when the day comes that you were to ask them, do you wholeheartedly, completely believe that this is the truth? It's like, I don't know. Hope for the best. I'm going to jump into eternity. Let's hope it's the right loop. Hoop, I should say. We have to be convinced. Thirdly, we must be prepared to give our message. You see, you can be completely and totally sure of the message. You can be convinced that it's the truth. But when it comes to sharing it with others, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul uses this picture of putting on the full armor of God. That way we are prepared to fight the good fight. And he says this, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Therefore, here it is, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and, verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Get your feet ready. You see, if you're going to go hiking, you don't want to put on flip-flops. Because there might be a boulder that rolls down in the front of your path, and you can't climb over a boulder easily with flip-flops. And what Paul is saying is we need to make sure our feet are ready so that if God sends somebody into our lives who needs to hear the message, we're prepared. We can climb it. We can handle it. That means that you and I on a daily basis are thinking in our hearts and minds, Lord, prepare me because I don't know what's going to happen today. Prepare me that if you send somebody into my life or you bring some sort of interaction in my life, that I'm just already prepared to share this message, to connect with them in a way, to make a spiritual bridge between them and God through the gospel. We have to be prepared. And I have multitudes of lost opportunities because I was not prepared. But Peter says, in your hearts, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Lost opportunities God can forgive. Amen. But He will always give new opportunities. We must know our message. We must be convinced of our message. We must be prepared to give our message. Fourthly, we must, and finally, we must deliver our message. Deliver our message. Did you know that it is possible for somebody to be totally sure of what the Bible teaches that the good news is? It is possible for somebody to be totally convinced that this is the true way of salvation for people to come to know God and enter into eternal life. It is possible for somebody to be totally prepared, having studied the apologetic books and having prayed themselves up in the morning and have been ready to go to share that gospel with those who need to hear. And then when the moment comes, to not give in, not deliver the message. You see, the bearer of good news comes back from the battle. And everybody's waiting to hear. And he comes inside and he sits down and he asks for a glass of water. And he asks if he can take a bath because he's filthy. And he starts going back to his work. And everybody's wondering what happened and he doesn't share. It'd be like a FedEx man knocking on your door. You open the door and he says, "Hello, how are you today?" And you say, "Great. How are you?" "Good. Beautiful day we're having." "Yes, it is. It is beautiful. I just want to enjoy this beautiful day. You have a nice porch swing. Can I sit on it for a little while?" And you say, "Sure, go right ahead." And he sits down on the porch swing and starts swinging back and forth and whistling a tune. Starts striking up a conversation with you about your favorite hobbies and such. In full FedEx gear. Truck is there. This goes on for half an hour and you give him some iced tea and you're sipping it together and you have a good conversation. That's great. He built a good relationship with you. He becomes your friend, and multiple times and weeks and months and years go by where you're catching up on good times and you build this relationship. It's wonderful. Every time you see him, he's got a FedEx hat on. He always pulls up in his truck. You see, there's a package in there for you. He just forgot to give it. We need to ensure. It doesn't matter how God is leading us, whether it's an instantaneous, here's the New Testament that I want to give to you, or whether it's through building a relationship and making a connection, we must deliver this message. Are we delivering this message? God wants to make your feet beautiful. That is, God wants you to gain the benefit of being known as a bearer of good news. Do you know the message? There are a lot of messages out there. Are you studying God's Word to see what the Bible says about the message of Jesus Christ, His death, burial, resurrection for our sins? Are you convinced of the message? That you truly in your deepest being believe this to be the truth and the way of salvation alone for people? Because if it is true and people will die and go to hell who reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you are totally convinced of that, how is that going to inspire you and move you to want to share the gospel? Are you prepared to deliver your message? Are you asking God to prepare you, to equip you, to ready you for whatever is going to happen in the day ahead? And finally, are you delivering that message? Are you finally bringing the good news to the city and telling them that God is alive? He rose from the dead. He died for our sins. This is good news. Are you delivering the message? Or are you going through life, and this is myself included, just going through life, enjoying the blessings of this life, in full FedEx gear, with packages that we need to give to people, but never giving? If we know our message, believe our message, prepare to give it, and give it, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. I close with this story, true story, of a missionary down in Africa. He went to a village to share Christ. There was conversions in this tribe. One man who trusted in Christ had elephantitis in his feet. Big, swollen, gargantuous feet. It would have been hideous looking, deformed. When he heard about Christ and he was saved, he was overwhelmed with the desire to share this message to others. So he made the decision that every single day he was going to walk 2 miles to a neighboring tribe. And every day he would leave and he would go to this tribe and he'd find a hut and he'd share Christ to somebody in that tribe. And then every night he would come home and his feet would be sore, they'd be bleeding. But every day he would do it again and again and again. The day came where he shared Christ with everybody in the whole village. He completed his task. However, not kicking back and relaxing, he remembered that there was another tribe, only this time 12 miles away from his own. And he said, I have to. And everybody told him, he said, don't do it. You can't do it. You can't walk that far. But one morning, the people, the missionary, woke up to find this man missing. He had gone and walked through the severest jungle conditions with elephantitis feet to a neighboring tribe 12 miles away. When he arrived, he went around that whole tribe and told everybody there about Christ, God's love, forgiveness, and the need to turn to Him. And after he had made his round, he went home. After the sun had gone down, when in the jungle there are wild beasts ready to devour those who happen to be lingering, blood pouring out of his feet. Well, that night the missionary heard a knock on his door. And he opened the door. And there was the man lying on the ground who had been dragging himself along the ground to come back. And the missionary records this. He says, he took the man inside, barely conscious. And he started to bandage his feet and put ointment on his feet. He said they were incredibly swollen, absolutely open sores, totally full of pain. And he said that as he put the ointment on the feet, his tears dropped and mixed with the ointment as he wrapped his feet, because all he could hear in his head as he wrapped his feet, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of Christ. Now, I would imagine nobody in this room here this morning has elephantitis in our feet. God is calling us to have beautiful feet. Will we go? Will we do this? Will we engage? Will we grow the kingdom of God? Will we have beautiful feet? Father in heaven, thank you so much for all of that we have heard this morning, the desire that is with us to want to share your good news. I pray you would convict each and every one of us, inspire each and every one of us. Start with me, Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of all broken dreams, there's an open door. This is the only way. If we're here saved, we heard the message, we believed, how much more should we share with others? Help us, Father God. May that be the mindset that we carry with us when we leave this place. May we not leave it here. We thank you, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.